Hello, is Olivia there?
Yeah, and actually, I'm going to be doing the interview. My name is Kathleen, and this is our TSA group. TSA stands for Technology Students Association, and the event we're doing is building a website, and the theme is like life on Mars and like exploration and space exploration.
Sounds great.
So we're going to ask you a couple questions, and if you can't answer, it's fine, but so what kind of work do you do, like, for space?
Well, I'm a scientist, and so I'm in a geoscience department, so I work on both Earth as well as other planets like Mars. So the kind of work I do for the Earth involves ancient rocks and also microbes and how they lived on the early Earth. And then for Mars, it'd be questions of whether Mars was ever like early Earth, whether it ever could have supported life, that kind of question.
Oh, okay. What inspired you to pick your job?
Well, I think in terms of inspiration, I did have a couple of very good mentors. In college, as a sophomore, I met a chemist at UC San Diego named Stanley Miller, and he invited me to do some research in his lab, and it was on the early Earth and origin of life. And so it inspired me to try to stay in the field and do this kind of work. And then I had another great mentor at UCLA named Bill Schopp, who helped me understand the early Earth from a different perspective, from geology. And so together, those early mentors helped me along and inspired me that this was a good job.
Oh, wow. That's cool. So for college, what colleges did you all go to?
So my undergraduate work was in biochemistry at UC San Diego, which is the University of California, San Diego. And then for graduate school, I was in geology at UCLA.
That's actually really cool, UCLA.
Two great schools.
How long have you had your job?
Let's put it this way. In grad school, it was the late 90s. So I was in grad school at UCLA from 96 to 2000. And then after that, I came to Penn State. So I've been at Penn State for 16 years.
Wow. What is the best part about your job?
Well, I think the best part is that you get to dream up experiments, new things to try, and they don't usually work, but it's still fun to try. And that after you try enough things, sometimes you learn something new about the world, about nature, that no one else knows. And then you go and tell somebody. And so for a very short period of time, you're the only one that knows that thing that you discovered. And then you get to tell everyone and move on to the next question.
Wow. And then the next couple questions we have are more about research done on, like, different planets.
Sure, no problem.
So do we know if water flows on Mars?
Water, first of all, water definitely flowed on Mars in very large quantities of water, huge outflows of water, billions of years ago. So maybe as late as 3.5 billion, there were large flows of water. And presently, there is small flows of water, little brine, salty brines that come out of canyon walls, happens every summer. So there are seasonal flows on Mars now, and there were very, very large flows of water on Mars billions of years ago.
Wow. I did not know that. That was something I did not know. Do you think there is microbial life on Mars?
That we simply do not know yet. I would love to know the answer, but we simply don't know the answer. We don't know if there was once life on Mars, and we don't know if there's life on Mars today. Both questions remain completely open. It is possible there's life presently on Mars, and it's possible that life was on Mars billions of years ago, but we don't yet have enough evidence for either one. So it's something to work on. So you guys should get in the field.
Yeah, possibly. Should I ask another NASA one? Okay. Why do you think we will try to put human organisms on Mars?
When is or what? What was the question again? Was it when or why? When? Oh, boy. I think it's fair to start by just pointing out that ever since the late 50s, we have assumed that we would be able to get humans to Mars within about 20 to 30 years. And today, we assume that we could get humans to Mars in about 20 to 30 years. So the answer has not changed, even though it's 40, 50 years later, 60 years later. So that that's just a little bit of cautionary note that we seem to be more optimistic about getting humans to Mars than we end up being able to get humans to Mars. We largely know how to do it, but it's very, very expensive, and it takes a lot of high-end engineering, and that costs resources and money. And so we will get to Mars whenever enough people decide it's what we want to do, and then we'll be able to do it. And I couldn't tell you if that's really going to be as soon as, say, 2030, which some people think, or not. It's possible. It's possible we could get to Mars by 2030, but it's going to only simply depend on the people in this country and other countries, or other countries, deciding that that's what they want to do.
Okay, and do you think NASA keeps some information private?
No. NASA has a policy that every image taken is released in, I think it's about 48 hours. So there is a tremendous amount of information coming out of NASA. NASA used to keep a lot of technical reports public as well, but then more recently some things relating to building rockets, I think, has been taken private. Mainly because Congress demanded that they be taken private, but largely NASA is policy is to release everything.
And that one, okay. Do you think the government and or NASA should keep studying Mars?
Oh, absolutely. I think Mars is fascinating, and I think that the Mars program has been wildly successful, and the two operating rovers right now, Curiosity and Opportunity, are fantastic. They're both still healthy and active. So I think that we absolutely should continue to study Mars, both the United States and the Europeans, who are big partners in Mars exploration with the U.S., and other countries would be great too. India now has a Mars program. The United Arab Emirates is getting ready to launch their first Mars mission, and presumably we'll see China get involved more and Russia involved with more Mars work. So you know, there's a number of countries involved with Mars work, and they're all contributing in really great ways. So I think we should continue this really great both U.S. effort, but also worldwide effort. Now, that's not to say other planets aren't worth studying too. Venus is extremely interesting. And hopefully we'll get a mission back to Venus very soon. Yesterday, NASA announced two new missions to asteroids, both of which are really interesting. One set of asteroids are out by Jupiter, so we've never actually visited an asteroid that far out. It should be quite different than the asteroids we have visited before. And the other mission is to explore a asteroid that's entirely made of metal. So it's not rocky. It's not stony anyway. It appears to be the core of a planet that broke apart. And so the planet, if that's true, the planet would have been about the size of Mars, and it lost most of its debris in an impact and left just the core. So that's what they're going to test. Those two missions were announced yesterday, and obviously there's exciting stuff out of Europa and Pluto, and Enceladus and Titan. So there's a lot of great worlds to explore in our solar system, and so I hope we continue to explore them all.
And do you think there's any cons to studying and exploring other planets? And if so, what do you think the biggest ones are?
Well, I think it's fair to say that these are not the most affordable missions in the world. It does cost a lot of money, a lot of engineering resources to ensure the mission is successful. To get a probe out to a comet and land on a comet, or to get a probe out to Pluto, it takes a large team of people working together. And so that costs money. One of those missions, you know, it's like a major motion picture, or sometimes bigger than a major motion picture. The smallest missions are like the biggest movies. And so I think it's worth it. I think worth it, putting the resources it takes to make one major motion picture is worth putting into doing one of these science missions. But that's the downside, is they're expensive. They're not as expensive as building more bombers or you know, lots of other things that that are also expensive. So this is entirely a peaceful operation for all of humanity to get excited about. And so I think it's worth putting in this level of resources. But that's the downside, is it does cost some money.
Yeah, definitely. That's all the questions we have for right now, and I think
okay. All
that. And thank you so much for your time and your
questions. Oh, sure. No, I'm glad you guys are interested, and, you know, if there's any follow-up questions, let me know. It's really great you're doing this. I hope your project goes really well.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye. All right, bye.
I'm still recording.